Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw. We are back. It's episode 119 and a happy new year to everyone. Happy new year to everyone.
Come on.
I mean, it's been a fantastic little festive period. Football Dartsmouth is truly in swing.
We said we would do loads of football content. We lied.
We had a little hiatus.
Too busy on the Bevs, watching the darts, watching the football.
Re-energising for a big new year. But we're not going to be focusing on this year. We're focusing on last year, the end of last year specifically, and the craziness that ensued over the festive football period. Where do we begin? I mean, should we start with the positives? We'll start with Liverpool.
Okay, so Liverpool.
I mean, it couldn't have gone any better for them, really. They sit however many points clear now. Chelsea dropping points to Ipswich, which we might touch on later.
So they're currently 8 points clear of Nottingham Forest with Arsenal to play tonight.
Yeah. How many points were they? They're still...
So they're clear of us, 9. But if we win tonight, it'd be 6.
Fine. And they've just got a game in hand.
They've got a game in hand. So yeah, it's looking good for Liverpool. I don't think anyone's ever gone into the new year as far ahead as they are and not won the league.
Yeah. I mean, the only team that went this far ahead and I think didn't win the league were Liverpool a while ago. I don't know if they were this far ahead, though.
There's two people I want to talk about. Arne Slot and Mohamed Salah.
Mm. And I want to add to that some interesting news that's come out about Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Let's start there, then.
We'll start with that. Well, let's start with the positive stuff.
Okay. Arne Slot's come in. We said at the start of the season it'd be a kind of...
transitional season.
Big time. Didn't make any major transfers. I think Chiesa was the only guy.
The main news going into the season was, obviously, Trent, Salah, Van Dijk, all in their last year of contracts.
That is still
They didn't have a spectacular season last year. Didn't really turn up any trees. But yeah, it was a big, obviously, move for Arne Slot going from Feyenoord, which is, no disrespect, a club of much smaller stature than Liverpool, filling in the boots of one of Liverpool's greatest managers ever.
Mm.
The man who returned the Champions League, the Premier League, to Anfield. But he's come in, and it just seems whatever's been put in front of them,
light work,
whatever they've had to deal with, whether that be, you know, injuries, Alisson being out for large parts of the season, defensive injuries.
Canate's been out, yeah.
He's just managed to sort of stumble, not even stumble, fly across every obstacle. They sit clear at the top of the Champions League group table. They're in the Carabao Cup semi-final. They've got Spurs to play in the coming week.
So they're in the final.
So they've got... And they're 8 points clear, or potentially, you know, 9 points clear in the top of the Premier League.
Yeah, it is what it is. I've had my fair share of opinions on Liverpool. I'm a little bit like, I don't want to confirm that they're going to win the league. I've seen a lot of people say, like, they've run away with it, league's title's over, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Something in the back of my head is saying something will happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think every team has hit a stumble so far, and Liverpool haven't. And it's something's going to, at some point, happen where they're going to, you know, drop a couple points over a couple games, and the table gets a little bit tighter. Maybe Arsenal start breathing down their neck a bit more.
Well, in fairness, there was a period where they got 2 draws in a row, didn't they? They drew against Newcastle and then against Fulham. But even that, the teams around them were dropping points in anyway.
Yeah, so exactly. I think that's what's saving grace for Liverpool, is that there are no teams in the league this year who are looking unbeatable, who are certain to win every game week.
Mm.
You know? And I would be more concerned if Arsenal had Saka, but he might be out for like 4 months. You know?
Which Liverpool need one of those injuries, because the guy I want to talk about, Mohamed Salah, if they lose him, like Arsenal have lost Saka, like Man City have lost Rodri, arguably each team, that's their best player.
Yeah.
And Salah is not just Liverpool's best player, he's the best player in the Premier League
Best player in the world.
The geezer at the end of the West Ham match was like, you're on for a Ballon d'Or season here.
Well, he is.
And I was like, I kind of stepped back and I was like, why is Salah just like never in the Ballon d'Or conversation? Like, he's always dropping banger seasons.
It's because you've got to win something and you've got to drop numbers to be in contention.
I'll hit you with the numbers. So we're 18 games into the Premier League season. 30 goal involvements.
He's the first player, I think, to get a goal involvement in 8 different games. Sorry, a goal and assist in 8 different games. And we're only 18 games into the season.
He's a disgusting man.
Yeah. It's terrifying. And it even seems like the best game, even the games where he's not even playing his best,
bags,
he's still getting goals or assists. Like,
yeah, it's this assist situation that he's got. I was like, he's never been that guy. No. But now, he's feeding the man.
This is Thierry Henry-esque.
Well, that's the thing. So Thierry, I think he dropped like 24 and 20 assists. Like, Salah locking that up easy.
What's he on now?
17 and 13.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And
he might do it next week.
So football Twitter has been an absolute cesspit over the holiday. But one of the discussions was Salah versus Hazard. I think it's been that discussion for a long time. Are we good
to
say?
I think he's clear of Hazard for a couple of years.
He's so clear of Hazard. Like,
I mean,
Hazard aesthetically,
the argument always comes back to Hazard in his prime, on his best day, he's unplayable.
Mm.
And he's so much more, like, I would say, like, sort of football heritage, streets will never forget techie level above Salah. But Salah is just so much more efficient and direct.
Yeah, Salah is like Cristiano Ronaldo when Hazard is like Messi.
Yeah, in the sort of play styles. Yeah, I'd agree. But yeah, I think Salah's clear. I mean, his Premier League legacy is
stupid.
Is levels above Eden Hazard. And by this age, Hazard's retired.
Yeah, I just think, everybody was kind of like, oh, I've said it. I said Salah, like, Saudi's calling, blah, blah, blah. But he's come back, fresh trim, hairline, crispy. And he's like, nah, I'm still the best player in this league.
He's the greatest right winger the Premier League's ever seen.
Yeah.
It's facts.
Since he hit Liverpool in 2017-18 season, 32 goals, 22 goals, 19 goals, 22 goals, 23 goals, 19 goals, 18 goals, and 17 already this season. He's dropped, and obviously some people say, oh, like, he's not a midfielder, he's pretty much a forward. Which he is, that's fine.
But he plays far out on the right, like.
The numbers, I don't care where you play. You could be a number 9 for the best team in the league. Aguero's probably dropping close to those numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and arguably a much better, more consistent team.
The guy's stupid. Any slander that I've ever given him over the years, wallahi, I take it back.
Yeah, I mean, it's mental. He is so, so good. And I think for me, getting him on a new contract is
the most important.
The most important thing.
Hmm.
Moving on to Trent. Rumours have it that he's agreed to sign a pre-contract agreement with Madrid.
Yeah,
can't do anything until tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is the 1st of January. But I think that's done.
Yeah, I think it's done. I don't know. He's been good this season. Liverpool been good this season.
I think he might be on his best season ever.
But I've kind of just looked at him and was kind of like, he seems like calm about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And like, you don't, I don't know, like, you'd hear more stories and stuff if something hadn't happened.
Yeah, and I think in my head, it's pretty much confirmed. I think the Spanish press have been reporting that it's pretty much confirmed. And they're rarely ever wrong.
Jude's been in his ear.
Yeah, and do you know what? For me, as obviously I'm not a Liverpool fan, I think fair enough. He's at that point in his career where if they win the league this season, he's done more for Liverpool than 99.9% of players ever have.
Facts.
He's been a great, great ambassador and an asset to that team. The only sour bit is that it's going to be a free transfer.
Yeah, but that's not his fault.
That's not his fault.
Yeah,
it comes down to the club. And if he signs a contract now, he's not going in the summer.
No,
because it's going to cost an arm and a leg. So for me, I think, you know, if you ask Liverpool fans, maybe we'll put it out there to the comments. Would you rather not win the league this season, but Trent stays?
Ooh.
Or would you let Trent go on a free and win the league? It's not even a question, is it?
See you later, Trent.
Mate, it's not even a question.
100%. And I think every team in the world, but especially teams that have the best in the world players, have got to just always have in the back of their mind,
they might go.
If Real Madrid come calling.
Yeah.
It's like PSG and Mbappe. It's like Trent and fucking Liverpool. It's like what I'm fearing with Saliba.
Mm.
If Real Madrid knock on your door, players just run out of the contract for them.
Yeah.
And then get a big fatty bonus.
Yeah, I think.
And it's scary stuff.
It's fair enough, though. I think, do you know what? Let him go. Let him go and enjoy his football. And we'll see. Because he's going to absolutely fucking tear up some of those teams.
Ball out so hard. He'd do what, like, fucking Tony Cruz has been doing in La Liga, but from right back, it'd be disgusting.
It within one transfer, a free signing, Real Madrid have then just found the answer to Modric going, Kroos going, Carvajal being on his way out.
They found just unlock Mbappe so hard as well, just like diagonal pingers over
Mate,
the
it's
top.
It's going to be against those high lines as well.
It could be grim.
It's going to be absolutely vile to watch, but I think that's fair enough. I don't see why anyone could be complaining. And obviously, it's going to be hard for Liverpool fans to come to accept.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently that's... But, I mean, if he goes out winning a fucking league title, fair enough. And it could be a Champions League as well.
Yeah, it could be.
And a Carabao Cup. But they're in for everything.
Cheeky treble to...
I mean, that could make them his greatest player ever.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mental. But, yeah, it's good. And I think Van Dijk as well, I think he'll sign a new contract. I don't think any big clubs are going to... maybe want to take him for a year or two. Oh,
I think someone like PSG or someone would.
But when you just stay at Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, I would if I was him. But
that just, yeah. Maybe it's just the lack crazy. Of forward planning for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's interesting. But Liverpool, ultimately, happy days. If you win the league, keep two out of the three of them.
Mate, yeah.
You've done well, I think.
Yeah, although the one that's... I would rather have kept Trent than Van Dijk.
See, I don't know. I think Van Dijk is pivotal.
Yeah, I mean, they're all pivotal. Yeah. And maybe Trent is actually... But Trent's, like, the youngest.
He is the youngest.
He is, like, the stalwart of that team. He represents everything about that club.
But I've said a couple of times now, positionally, I feel like you can survive and compete at the top level without
but
a good
right
back.
Can you replace what he brings?
No, probably not. But...
Yeah.
Can you replace what Salah and Van Dijk bring?
Probably not.
Exactly. It's a weird one. It's Liverpool a fans. One. We might have to get a Liverpool fan on... Get Lewis back on or something and have a little chat about Liverpool's future because it's an interesting one.
Because there's a few names in my head that I'm like thinking, right, well, if this guy goes, maybe they should aim for this guy. But already this season, they've lost Konate. Gomez went off injured, I think, against West Ham.
Kwanzaa's back in the question.
He's too busy trying to get shagging people
up.
It's like, crazy. It's mad. They could be in a position where Spurs are now where they've got absolutely no centre-backs.
I was going to say, it's all good that these three players are like running down their contracts and it's like a big thing because they're top of the league. So you kind of like the vibes are good. It's not as big a deal. If they were mid-table and these three dons were running down their contracts,
it would be horrendous.
Mate, you'd be in a Man United situation.
Yeah, I completely agree. But speaking of Man United...
So they're actually playing each other this weekend coming, Liverpool versus Man United.
I saw someone tweet... maybe it was on BBC Football. You know they do like the little... People can like tweet in or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Send a comment. Someone said, I bet Arnie Slot's going to rest some players against Man United for their big cup tie against Akron Stanley during the week. But it's so true. Man United have become... Like, not even a mid-table team. They are a bottom-half team.
Genuinely. So, Ruben Amorim came in at the beginning of the month, beginning of December. And we kind of all like, oh.
He's been so good at Sporting.
Good stock. He's like, had a good time at Sporting. Came in, I think he won 4-0 on his like home debut.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh. But then after that, it's just been... Well, he actually did say, after the 4-0 win, he was like... we didn't deserve to win 4-0. The fans have got to accept that there's going to be a storm coming and it's how we like go through the storm.
He does seem very level-headed.
He does. But I don't think he could have preempted how bad this storm is going to get.
Yeah.
Because after that 4-0 win, it was a 2-0 loss against Arsenal, a 3-2 loss at home against Forest. Somehow they beat Man City, who we'll go on to talk about.
One of the worst games of football the Premier League's ever seen.
Honestly, stinky. Then they lost 3-0 against Bournemouth. They actually lost 3-0 at home to Bournemouth 2 years in a row now. And then lost 2-0 against Wolves, who at that point, I think...
Just appointed Victor Pereira.
Yeah.
What's it?
In a relegation zone, Victor Pereira, I think. And then 2-0 the other night against Newcastle in, honestly, one of the most diabolical performances I've ever watched.
How does this get better? Because I'm looking at a team where... Arguably, one of their star players is on his way out. Rashford is just done.
He's been frozen out. Didn't make an appearance in the last three games.
He was in the squad for the Newcastle game. Yeah. But yeah, Garnacho's been on a weird one with Ruben Amorim as well. He hooked Xerxes at like 30 minutes.
Which was mad.
But apparently that was literally all tactical, which is fair enough. You're 2-0 down inside 15. You've got to make a change early on if you want to get anything.
Wallahi, the fans booing him off as well. I was like, Jesus
Poor
Christ.
Lad, man.
Yeah, it's rough because he's a new signing.
I mean, he's probably been their best new signing, and that's saying something.
Yeah, there's like, I don't know, it's just so bad there at the moment.
But how many times have we gone back to Man United and gone, right, we're going to do a video about how we rebuild the squad?
Mm.
And every time, it just seems like we come back 3 or 4 months down the line, and we're in the same position.
It's so bad.
And it's a big January coming up.
Yeah.
Big January. But they went pretty heavy in summer. They went pretty heavy last year. The issue is they're not getting players out.
They're not getting players out, and they're not getting the right players in. Like, a summer window of Xerxes and all these guys. Lenny Yoro, who I like, but young, unproven. Man United don't need that right now.
No, they need...
They need smart players that can come and make a difference right now.
They need to bring some good eggs in.
Good eggs.
I'm looking at, like, I think their team's got too many... Like, too many volatile characters. Onana, Lisandro Martinez, Bruno Fernandes, you know, Rashford. They're all like, that's the spine of a team.
Bruno, just, mate, done with him. I see people say, like, oh, he's techie baller. He gets red cards all the... What is he, though? He's like your captain. Yeah, you've just made, like, your best player the captain. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not built for that. He's not built to galvanise the troops.
I think he had one... He definitely had one, if not two seasons, where he put up numbers.
Yeah, his first season when he arrived was crazy.
It's been poor.
Yeah.
And he's gotten away with it because when you watch him play, he's clearly a very good footballer.
Techie, yeah, 100%.
But I think if you put him into a Real Madrid, you put him into a prime Man City, if you put him into a prime Arsenal, Liverpool, I don't even think he starts for them now.
You need to surround him with players that are like big, won a lot, that can tell him where to go. But because he's like the biggest and best in the team, he just gets away with murder. You need someone like a Vidic in the team to come and fucking
just big man him. They need people to put him in his place, really.
And they got like none of that.
But then all he's going to do is sulk.
Good, sulk on the bench. The big men will run the team.
But yeah, I completely think it's got to be, like we said, for 2-3 years running now, it's got to be clear out time.
Clear out, big time.
January... Right, they've got to, I don't want them to think about getting players in.
No.
Just get Rashford out that door. Let's get some sales going, get some money in the bank, yeah. get on the good side of PSR and FFP, and then we go again in the new year, in the new season. Because this season's a write-off. This season is completely written off.
100%.
If they scrape Conference League or Europa League...
I genuinely reckon... If they're not careful, they're going to get in a relegation battle.
I mean, how many points are they off the drop?
So they're on 22 currently. And yeah, Ipswich are on 15. So 7 points ahead.
They are a weekend away.
And they got Liverpool this weekend.
Yeah, they're a weekend away from being in a serious relegation battle.
Big time. Ipswich won on the week.
Beat Chelsea.
Put up a good performance against Arsenal. They look like they could climb.
For me, Southampton and Leicester are done.
Yeah,
Southampton and Leicester are done. Ruud van Nistelrooy was a terrible signing.
We'll talk about Leicester in a bit, because when they play Man City, they actually look kind of techie. But maybe that's just Man City being terrible. But yeah, Wolves under a new manager.
They'll be fine.
They're going to climb up.
Everton, they've had a hard run, got some decent results. Obviously a bad result against Forest, but Forest is sat second in the table. I think they'll be all right.
Maybe apart from West Ham, who are 1 point ahead of Man United.
The rest of them are in trouble.
The rest, I think Man United are worse than the rest of them.
Palace are on the up again.
I think Palace are better than United, Everton are better than United, and Wolves are better than United. Ipswich and West Ham, probably Man United
level.
Yeah, that's their competition right now.
Mental, isn't it? It's absolutely mental to say that Man United are currently operating on the same sort of level as Ipswich. And it might be disrespectful to Ipswich.
It actually might be, because Ipswich went to Chelsea, who are third in the league at that point, ran them off the park.
I mean, if they hadn't beaten Man City... Say Man City weren't dropping the stinker. If they had to be Man City, they would be sat 4 points above the relegation zone.
It's so bad. So this is the lowest they've ever been at the turn of the year. This is the first time since like 1950 that they've lost 3 home games in a row. They're breaking records.
All the wrong records.
100%.
It's absolutely absurd. And I don't think it's Ruben Amorim's fault.
No. You're coming into a losing battle.
But... We're saying that they need players who are going to like big man, players with experience. But they've got a midfield of Casemiro and Eriksen, which is just legless.
I was going to say, like, there's not a lot of things that he's to blame for. Starting that against arguably one of the most like tenacious, running heavy midfields in
physical,
the league.
Physical, techie.
Like, mate, you are always going to get
Newcastle
cooked.
Have one of the best, like most well-rounded midfields.
Honestly, Tonali, Gumaresh, and
Linton, yeah.
Joe Linton. Mate, that's like, I'd say like top three midfields in the league.
Yeah, I mean.
That's like balance everywhere.
Yeah.
And physical, that's nice.
It's.
And all three of them walk into Man United's team.
But what's also amazing is that United over the last couple of years, they've let players like Anthony Elanga go, Scott McTominay go. Two players who are performing really well for their respective clubs at this moment.
Facts, so, yeah.
You're telling me that a midfielder, Mainu and Scott McTominay, wouldn't be better than Casemiro and Eriksen? I struggle to see it.
No, you're talking
what's
facts, actually.
What's wrong with Manuel Ugarte, man? Because he, from what I've seen of him...
Man, ain't well Ugarte.
Yeah, it's like... He's clearly a good footballer, right?
Yeah. Well, you are to be at this level, yeah.
But... Like, what does he need to what does he need to sort of like facilitate him playing to his levels? I don't know. It's I don't see it getting better, and not even from what they have.
No,
I would be digging straight into that the academy. I'd be looking at some players in the academy,
yeah.
And I'd be doing some heavy freezing. I'd be saying, Anthony, you're gone. Start looking for a new club. Start learning Arabic, mate.
Yeah,
like Marcus Rashford, mate, you're out of the door. Like, just prepare these players. Say, look, the future Man United is not with you guys. You're gone.
Yeah, do a Enzo Maresca.
Yeah.
Go in there. Know who you want. Know who you don't want. Anyone that's problematic, gone.
And you're telling me, if you get 50 million for Rashford, you get, like, 10 million for Anthony. But that frees up the wage bill. Heavy. I mean, they're cutting, like, they like, didn't pay for their staff, like, travel and accommodation for the FA Cup final. They've like cancelled all the Christmas parties. They cancelled like the steward of the week who has got like a £50 reward for like.
They got rid of bonuses to ex-Man United players and stuff.
Players who like struggling. And it's like, but you're paying fucking Anthony like 200 grand a week.
Yeah, it's mental.
Mental. Where are your priorities, mate? But obviously they can't pay him off. But you've got to just be honestly, there's got to be some serious negotiation going on here. Someone's got to come in and just completely take control of this club's transfer policy and say, right, this is not the type of player we want. This is what we need. Work with the manager, because managers don't have this. That's not part of their game anymore.
No.
It's very rare you get a manager who's involved in the transfer side of him. He gets given a list of players that the like the sporting director.
Well, they got one in, then got rid of
him. But he gets a list of players and then he go, right, which one would you like? Which ones take your fancy? But Ruben Amorim's probably got a much better fucking idea than Dan Ashworth did.
100%. That's my thing. It's like, they should be involved. That's why I liked the Eto'o Arteta kind of relationship, because they both played the game, both get on well, both can figure out a vibe together. You don't want them to be so far apart that you're just dumped with players that you have no kind
of
input on.
I would love to have half an hour to chat to a technical director, a sporting director, what director of football, whatever you want to call them, and just sort of get into the mindset of why are clubs appointing these people. Do they think, is it because they're going to have a lot more time? They don't have to focus on like the tactical side of football. They don't have to focus on training. Is it so they can literally just sit there and focus and work with their scouts and say, right, this is what we need. This is what he's asked for. Is it because they've got the time to do that? So you make it a set, like a sort of isolated role?
Yeah, I guess time for sure. Maybe... Yeah, I think it is time. Like that is like a thing in itself, isn't it? Like watching players all around the world. Also kind of like the business aspect of it, buying players and making sure that that's like an investment that returns money.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. But yeah, there's something seriously wrong with Man United, and it goes a lot deeper than just the management and the players.
I'm loving it, mate. Every time I watch them play, I'm like, this team is actually honking.
If they lose Liverpool, which fairly likely, and Ipswich, Wolves, Everton, one of those teams picks up 3 points, serious trouble.
I'm going to go into that game like a win-win for me, because if Liverpool win, that's United in the mud, happy days. And if Man United somehow scrape a win, title challenge could be back on.
Yeah, it could be. Could be heavily.
Title challenge back on for another team. We'll do one positive, one negative, one positive, one negative, I think. Nottingham Forest.
Mate.
Are they the surprise and best kind of story of the season so far?
I mean, I think it was about 2 months ago I said, there's no chance that they carry this on.
Yeah, what did you say? It could only get worse from here.
Yeah, I said, you've enjoyed your ride so far. Just prepare for it to get worse. Nuno saw that video. He must have. And he went, who's this fucking donkey chatting shit
on
my name?
Mate. So, I'll hit you with the stats.
Mate.
So they are second in the Premier League. Obviously, Arsenal playing tonight. But they have played 19, won 11, drawn 4, lost 4. Goal difference of 7, 37 points on the board. They're smashing it, mate.
It's just every weekend, they perform like they're better than the week before. Chris Wood has been a revelation. The amount of disrespect on his name when he was, I think, at Burnley, then he went to Newcastle. Newcastle didn't want any of it.
Yeah.
Forrest picked him up. And even for like a year, he wasn't really like, he was a bit pop player. Awoniyi was the guy.
Was the guy, yeah.
But what a fucking footballer. I mean, his ability to hold the ball up is one thing. Mm. His physical prowess is another. But his ability to link up play, his technical ability, with the ball at his feet.
His goal against Everton the other night where he was dinks it over. Oh, mate.
He's getting assists. He's getting goals. He is, at the minute, maybe apart from Isak, the most well-rounded striker in the Premier League.
Jeez! Talk to him. So, what is his stats currently? 19 appearances, 11 goals.
How many assists?
Give me a second. Oh, I don't know. Awesome. But I want to hit you with some stats. Or some results, more like. So, I think kind of when you were... Or we were saying it could go downhill for them. They had just lost against Newcastle 3-1. And they were in a bit of a stinky patch after that loss, 3-0
only
to
one assist.
Okay, that's...
literally just happened.
Yeah. and then after that, 3-0 loss to Arsenal. Then a 1-0 win against Ipswich. And then a 3-0 loss against Man City. And we're kind of thinking, oh, maybe the...
Maybe the run's over.
Yeah, the good times are over. But following that loss to Man City, they have won 5 on the bounce now. 2-1 against Villa. Very good result.
Great result.
First loss to Brentford, they beat 2-0, giving Brentford their first home loss of the season.
Yeah, mental.
Mental result. Then they take on Spurs, win 1-0 there. Everton, who had just drew against Man City, Chelsea. Arsenal and Chelsea, they go to Everton and beat them 2-0. These guys,
convincingly.
Man. Yeah, these guys are... I don't know if other teams look at them and think this is the Nottingham Forest of old. We don't have to treat them like a big team, like a big match. And the pressure's kind of off on the opposition. And then Nottingham Forest go in there, do their thing, get out. But whatever's going on, they're doing a madness at the moment.
They've not got like a bad sort of next few games. They've got Wolves away, which is okay because no Mateus Cunha for Wolves.
Oh, has he actually been suspended now?
Yeah, and he got injured at half-time, didn't he? He got nicked at half-time. Oh. But yeah, he's been too much ban and like a 80 grand fine or something.
Come on.
That's going to make a dent. They've got Wolves away. They've got Liverpool at home.
That'll be nice.
I think that's after international break, though.
And they beat Liverpool earlier in the season.
They did. Southampton at home, Bournemouth away, Brighton at home, Fulham away. Then they've got Newcastle away, Arsenal and Man City both at home. But then they've got like do you know what?
Mate, just keep doing your thing. They're not in any competitions, I don't think.
No. But like their signings that they bought in the summer have just paid dividends.
Oh, mate.
Milenkovic has been...
What a player.
One of, if not the best defender in the Premier League.
Ola Aina. He kind of was an under-the-radar signing. What a player he is. Probably the best right-back in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree.
So good.
I would agree. Elliot Anderson. Fantastic.
I mean, on his Clark.
I mean, we were just both like, this is nothing signed. This is all for like FFP.
What a player he is.
He's been unbelievable.
Anthony
Elanga. Fantastic. Morgan Gibbs-White. Electric. Mm. Callum Hudson-Odoi even. Great player. Chris Wood. The god. The greatest.
It's looking good, bruv.
And do you know what? Fair play to him because... Mm. You know, it's not like they went out and spent loads of money when they first got promoted. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, it was a bad weekend for Chelsea, though, who obviously dropped a 2-0 defeat at Portman Road, giving Ipswich their first win in the Premier League at home for like 20 years.
So Chelsea, they're playing the kind of cool, calm, nonchalant card where I think they were second in the league and... They were like, we're not in the title race. What title race? Everyone was slagging us off. New manager, blah, blah. Expensive players, blah, blah. We can't be in the title race. They were in a title race, whether you like it or not. But clearly, they're not built for that kind of pressure because now they're 3 on the bounce without a win. A draw against Everton, 0-0. And then a 2-1 last minute loss to Fulham. Mm. And then an embarrassing loss against Ipswich, 2-0. Title race that you said you weren't in. I feel like now you're probably officially not in it anymore.
Yeah. I do you know what? It's sort of where what's happened, what we expected to happen. Maybe not in the fashion we did.
Yeah.
I would, 2-2 against Fulham is whatever. Maybe I can see that coming. But losing 2-0 away to Ipswich.
Rough. He did rotate heavily, to be fair. Probably regrets that now.
Yeah. Well, you can't keep getting away with rotating your squad.
But at some point, I think they are... Like, to be fair, we had them like fourth or fifth as the season went on. And they are probably hitting that level. But one team that's climbing up, doing an absolute madness, we mentioned them earlier, Newcastle.
Mm.
I think I said earlier in the season, is it time to move on for from Eddie Howe?
Every time we say that, though, he seems to have a nice run and do well.
Mm. So they drew 3-3 against against Liverpool. And then lost 4-2 against Brentford. But
that
after that,
game,
4-0 win, 4-0 win, 3-0 win, 2-0 win.
Yeah, they're putting up goals. And Alexander Isak is the main man.
Yeah, I think that's down to two things. Isak has hit like a disgusting run of form. Mm. And Sandro Tonali's come back into the team. And what a player he's looking
like. I mean,
like.
Even they're like, their starting 11s aren't even like fully fit starting 11s. Although I don't think we've been able to say that for a long time. Like, Botman being out, Trippier being out,
Nick Pope.
Yeah, Sandro Tonali being being suspended, Nick Pope being injured, you know, Callum Wilson. Will we ever see him play football again?
Probably not.
No idea. But they are a team that just work incredibly hard. And the fact that they're not in Europe this season has done wonders for that team.
Yeah, 100%.
If they were in a Champions League battle again, doubt that they'd be anywhere near where they are. But they're climbing. And this season, one of the weirdest seasons in Premier League history, in recent memory anyway. Mm. There's no reason that a team like Newcastle can't go for top four.
100%. I was going to say, top four, with Man City dropping off, Villa, Spurs dropping off. The only team you're really competing with are Chelsea and Forest.
Yeah, and even still, you might even see a Bournemouth or a Fulham make a run.
Come
it.
On.
You know, it's...
We won't delve too much into Bournemouth and Fulham, but come on, looking good for them.
This is where we're at.
Come on, I love it, man.
A team who'd be disappointed, though, who are currently in the Champions League and are sort of being a bit underwhelming, Aston Villa.
Yeah, so what are they on? They're ninth currently in the Premier League.
Let me throw you back a couple game weeks. John Durand, is that a red card?
No.
It's a weird one because
I think it
looks
like
video.
If that's a red card, do you see João Pedro throw an elbow, but because he didn't touch a player?
Yeah,
that's more of a red card. He literally went to beat him up.
So someone has to get injured for them to give up.
If I was that player, I'd throw my head in the way just to get contact.
Mental. But yeah, I don't know. I was 50-50 on it. I think it's not. I think it's harsh.
Yeah, it's harsh, but then
FA have come out and they've upheld it. I think it increased it to 3-game ban and a fine.
Stupid.
But you can see his left ankle completely give way.
Yeah.
And he spins. It's weird. But you know what? I don't know. Maybe there's not enough objectivity in football.
Yeah.
But they'll be disappointed though. I mean, they drew 2-2 against Brighton on the weekend.
Especially with, like you said, other teams dropping off. Was this their season to secure Champions League again?
But the magic is slowly fading, and you've been a big Unai Emery hater for a while, saying that this is kind of, he finds his limit and then that's it.
He is Mr. Stagnation. I don't know. He's one of those guys that just kind of I don't really know what the problem is with him.
They've got a really good team though. Emi Martinez is one of the best keepers in the league.
Yeah.
Consistently. Luka Dinier is
good.
In a team of in a league full of some very average left backs, he tends to go under the radar in that top sort of two or three contenders.
Mm.
But he is really good on his day. Maybe it's just that lack of consistency.
Yeah.
And he can be a little bit rash sometimes, but he brings really good set piece play with him to any team he goes to. Defensively, they've got, they've got a good centre back pairing, but maybe not as good as we once thought they were.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah.
And then going forward, though, they've got. The revelation it's been Morgan Rodgers.
Oh, what player he is. So
but
good.
Are we seeing John McGinn do his thing this season as much? I mean,
Ollie Watkins
is being dropped and Durand came in. Ollie Watkins obviously came back in the weekend, I think scored a penalty, but it's, I don't know. The magic is, it fades very fast in football.
Mm.
1 minute you're literally the best thing since sliced bread. And then it's you get to that point where it's well, how do we get better from here?
Yeah.
And they put up a good showing in the Champions League so far. But we've seen the Newcastle effect. It takes a toll on your league.
It does indeed, yeah.
If you're a team like Villa, like Newcastle, who perhaps don't have that quality and depth that top teams like Liverpool, like Arsenal, like Man City, even like Chelsea at the minute do, you can struggle.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you play in 90 minutes against Bayern Munich one week and you're having to put in 120% to make up for the fact that you don't have a Harry Kane, that you don't have, you know, Jamal Musiala and Elise. And then...
then you got, you know, bus travel all the way down to Southampton away.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I don't know. I don't know if it gets any better for them. I really don't. And maybe if they go out in the Champions League sort of February, March, then we might see a little bit of a late resurgence from them. But by then, it might be too little too late.
Yeah.
And a bottom half finish, isn't it, off the cards? And that would be really disappointing.
That would be disappointing. I think they are too good for that. But then again, there's a lot of teams in that bottom half that you would say are too good for that, but you're in the bottom half for a reason, mate.
Should we finish up on Tottenham Hotspurs?
Yes.
I mean...
also, Arsenal, come on. Like, just... the thing with Arsenal is just stay in the running.
Yeah, just...
play the long game.
Is Saka back before the end of the season?
Yeah, so I heard rumours of March, but you get all these timeline physio merchants that are like, oh no, it's a grade 3 tear with an estimated return date of April 29th and a possibility of hitting the levels of 4%. I'm like, shut up, you Neek.
This is Bukayo, mate.
This is Bukayo. He's built of bigger stuff.
He's a big man, yeah.
I love him. He's got God on his side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he's all good.
We'll quickly touch on Arsenal before we move on to Spurs. But for me, Arsenal, they've just got to stay there. If they're within 6 points come March, they have a really, really good chance.
We've got a trip to Anfield to do. I mean, it's not good, but I've seen teams go to Anfield and make a game of it.
But the good news is for Arsenal is that a lot of their recent, I'll say success, obviously, without the sort of copium that is trophies,
yeah,
but their recent couple seasons has all been built on a foundation of strong defensive performances.
Yeah,
losing Bukayo Saka doesn't take away from that.
Facts.
You've got Ben White to come back. That's gonna be massive. I think, is Calafiori back yet, or is he?
He was on the bench last game, but we got Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Different great.
Jeez,
yeah, seen what Declan Rice has been saying about him.
Crazy,
but yeah, sometimes it's better to have those problems up the pitch. Than yeah, it is to have. You're not gonna go to teams and lose 3-0.
And I've seen a lot of people on the timeline say, like teams would go set up, nullify Saka, and then we're stumped. Whereas at least now we go to games and teams are kind of like, we don't know where the threat's gonna come from.
Yeah,
because Saka's not there, the threat's gonna come from more places.
Yeah, the only issue I'm
but I miss him.
Foreseeing for Arsenal is that like Saka is their output.
Yeah.
You know, Odegaard is a fantastic player, but he doesn't trip up with nearly enough goals for a player of his quality.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz is starting to slump again. And I'm worried that he's such a form player. Like, he has to have confidence to play to his level. I don't know. Gabriel Jesus, has a fucking blinder.
And then I bring him in my fantasy team, drops 2 zeros.
And then just like, it does nothing.
Yeah.
Gabriel Martinelli just... and he is like Havertz, maybe needs that confidence.
Yeah.
Because we know what he can do. And obviously injuries may have taken a toll, but there's still no reason that he can't skin players. He's so good.
Yeah.
And I just want to see that sort of take this opportunity that Saka's injured to become the main man. You know?
Yeah.
But you're looking towards Odegaard's now got to do twice the work to going forward.
But like you said, we're built on a very solid structure. A structure that a lot of teams are probably gagged to have.
And it's only going to get better when you have those players come back.
I think in 2024, most wins, most points collected, most home wins. It's been a good season, been a good year for us. And it's been a good season so far. I think we're only like 4 points off where we were this time last season.
Yeah.
If I'm right in thinking, I think we've done a lot of the hard away days apart from Anfield. So yeah, like I said...
just stay in there.
Keep doing your thing. Keep collecting 3 points. Like that 1-0 win we had against Ipswich.
Yeah.
Wasn't a good game. Hard watch, if I'm honest. Just get it done because teams like Chelsea, they're dropping points there. Just get those points. You just put them in the bag. Get out.
You can't afford to drop any more points than Liverpool pick up points.
Yeah.
Because even if Liverpool have a slump, they might drop 6 points, but you're still going to be a point behind them.
And we're both in the competitions that... So we're both in Carabao together, both in FA Cup together, both in the Champions League together. It'd be interesting to see if one drops out of that competition and one doesn't, that changes the thing. Yeah. But yeah, come on.
But yeah, the only worry I have is that without Saka, there might be a couple games where you just need that bit of magic, and I struggle to see where it's going to come from.
Mate, I miss him so much.
So what's your forward line now? Like Martinelli.
So Martinelli's been playing on the right
because Raheem Sterling is a nobody.
Yeah, was literally brought in case something like this happens, and just none is.
Yeah,
I'm hoping maybe we go a little bit techie in the January transfer window.
Yeah, but who? I mean, because you needed someone. Really,
I've heard rumours of Brian and Bomo.
Kolo Muani.
Oh, I don't like that one at all. No. I've heard rumours of Mateus Cunha.
Yeah, I heard rumours of Mateus Cunha. I don't know if that's... But he plays on the other side.
But you could just do what we do with Martinelli, get him over to the other side. And...
Yeet him over.
But mate, Mateus Cunha is so disgusting.
Is that?
Mateus Cunha.
Yeah, he's so good, man.
So good. Like, the way he was balling out against Man United was actually disgusting.
But yeah, I don't know. Let's quickly switch over to the other side of... the big rivalry.
So, we were talking about Man United and how stinky they are and how they're only 7 points off the relegation zone. Spurs are only 9. They've both lost 9, which apart from the teams in the relegation zone, is the most losses in the league. Mm. So, they are literally battling it out with relegation fodder. Spurs, 7 wins, 3 draws, 9 losses. Currently sitting 11th. Is it time to get rid of Ange Postecoglou? This is, I think, their worst ever start to a Premier League season.
It's a sticky one because the grass isn't always greener.
It's not. But and the grass Ange is plays great football. Dead right now.
He plays great football. Mm. We love to see it. Maybe a little bit naive. I think maybe a lack of experience managing at the top level means that he doesn't really know how to make those tiny tactical tweaks to get the best out of his team.
Does he not know, or does he just not want to? Because he's a stubborn fucking...
Aussie. I don't know. I don't know, but it's one of them, and perhaps it is naivety, arrogance, I don't know.
Yes,
but he has been stumped with a few rough injuries in the defensive department.
Yeah, their team is looking bare bones, but I've seen Spurs fans say, is it because he works them so hard? Training, their press is crazy, they cover the most distance compared to any other team. Is he just running this team into the ground? And his like refusal to have another system... Like, if you're going to run your team as hard as you do, have a backup system, or don't run them as hard as you do, and then you can just spam the same players.
Is he only in a job still because they're in a Carabao Cup semi-final?
Yeah, maybe. Well, and because they beat Southampton 5-0, because their run of form without that
is
honking.
But this is what they
honking.
Do. They one day they turn up and they're like electric and they smash a team to bits. Mm. Then the next week, it looks like a completely different team.
Yeah.
And they're lackadaisical, they're lazy, they're slow, and maybe it is, like you say, due to the system. I don't know. If they went out and got Thomas Frank, I think that would be an upgrade. I really do.
Same.
And I think that's a really good shout. But I don't... Who else is going to want to come? It's a constant...
Yeah,
it's a managerial circus there.
Yeah, you've done
no one has gone there and done well.
Yeah, you've done the higher managers with high caliber in Conte and Mourinho. Don't do that.
You've tried to hire a manager from lower.
You've tried like the unknowns, kind of, and the ones lower like Nuno. Just go for a certy Prem guy. I don't know why they didn't go for Graham Potter as soon as he became available.
I don't know if that's even the solution.
I think he's a better solution than Ange. I think Thomas Frank's a better solution than Ange. I think Marco Silva's a better solution than Ange.
Oh, mate, if you get Marco Silva, even Antoni Iraola.
I think Antoni Iraola is probably a better solution than Ange. But
they're just like managers with like footballing sort of pedigree. That's not like being racist against Ange because he's an Aussie.
I love an Aussie.
Do you know what? And because I really like the style of football that Ange has.
Yeah.
It's just, if you've got a plan A, and we've seen it with Arteta, but Arteta's plan A is much better than Ange's plan A. If it's not working, you've got to change something. Mm. You can't just fucking throw darts at a board and hope one of them sticks.
Like that Liverpool game, it was so obvious that high line, when you got Luis Diaz, Mo Salah running behind you, you're going to get cooked. how do you not see that as a manager? It's like Ruben Van Nistelrooy. When you come up against Newcastle, who've got the most physical, tenacious midfield in the league, and you play the oldest dons in the Premier League, how do you not see that shit? It's just like obvious shit that these managers are missing.
But like, at that point, it's like, well, if anyone can see that,
yeah,
is it arrogance that they're not dealing with it, or do they think that's not the problem?
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's like, do you think your players are that good that you can overcome that glaring issue? Like, you're not looking at it with unbiasedness.
Mm.
I don't know. It's mad. But yeah, Spurs, so they drew 2-2 against Wolves on the weekend. Before that, lost to Nottingham Forest. Before that, lost to Liverpool. And then before that, beat Southampton 5-0, which got Russell Martin sacked.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. They're so weird. Because if Spurs are playing, they're usually the game I watch because I know it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Whether they're good or bad in the game, there's going to be fucking goals.
Yeah, 100%.
And I just don't know. I don't have the answer for this one, mate. I really don't. Because
neither do I, and I love it.
Like I said, the grass is not always greener, but
it's so funny because the teams they're around are all on like minus goal difference or zero or one, and they're on plus 13. It's just so, they're such like an outlier.
And mate, they've got Newcastle at home and then Arsenal away in the next two games. Followed by Everton away, Leicester at home, Brentford away, Man United at home. So they've
that's
got
a nice little
a fairly
relegation,
decent run.
Yeah, little relegation.
They've got Man City at home on the 25th of February.
Like, oh, they love that. That's easy for them.
They've got a couple, I don't know, they've got a couple hard games, but the clock is ticking now. Mm. The clock is seriously ticking. For him,
yeah.
For Lopetegui, and I think everyone else is fairly safe for the moment.
Yeah, him and Lopetegui.
McKenna's, yeah. So like, Juric only just gone into Southampton, they're already relegated. Van Nistelrooy's only just gone into...
looked good against Man City. Man City obviously terrible at the moment, and I don't even know where
but
to go
But then they
that.
Get smashed like 4-0 the week before by Newcastle. And
yeah,
like,
Newcastle are good though.
And then Ipswich, McKenna, say...
Yeah.
Pereira, Victor, whatever his name is,
yeah,
safe.
Victor Pereira just started.
Everton, I think Sean Dyche is fairly safe, although new ownership has come in.
Yeah,
apparently they want Jose Mourinho in the Premier League.
Come on, we do want to see Jose.
I would
back.
Love to see him manage like a mid-table team.
He'd lose his head.
Palace, Glasner, he wasn't safe, but they're looking a lot better, and I think he'll be safe. Amorim, he's just come in, safe for me still.
And then
Lopetegui
yeah,
problems. Could be in trouble.
Thomas Frank, safe.
Because, I mean, you've got a front line of...
Bowen Kudus.
Bowen Kudus, Paquetar.
Yeah.
I mean, Fulkrug's, I don't know what the fuck's going on there. Antonio's only just been discharged from hospital, which is good news to hear.
Yeah.
And then I think Somerville's a good player, but...
Yeah, they've got too many techie players to be that
like,
way down.
Thomas Frank, he's safe in the sense that they're never going to sack him, but I'd be worried if I was a Brentford fan.
Would you? Nah, they're fine.
No, I mean, that he's going to get his nicked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he is probably due a move up, to be fair.
Ange is in trouble.
Ange is in trouble. That
Hertzler's
fine.
Emery's fine.
Yeah, now
much.
We're on teams that are cooking. Marco Silva, what a manager. Antonio Areola, what a manager. Pep Guardiola.
Can't lose him. He cannot be replaced.
He cannot. Eddie Howe, good
fine.
Man.
Maresca,
Enzo,
fine.
Yeah.
Arteta, fine. Arnie Schlott, flying.
Come on.
And
Arnie.
That brings to an end.
Oh, I've got one thing that I want to do before we end. Our Premier League team. I've seen... all the fucking broadcasters do this, Sky, BT, blah, blah. Premier League team of the season so far.
Is that going to be this video or we just make it a whole other video?
We can make it
because I need to like, think about this.
I was just off the dome it, but we can think about it.
Yeah, let's
think, think about it.
Stay tuned.
Jeez. Okay.
Well, yeah, that nice. Wraps up 2024, mate. What a season it's been. The highs and lows. And we're going to be cracking straight on into 2025. I'm bringing you all here first on Board Draw. Hope everyone had a lovely Christmas. Moving into the new year. New year means new garms. Cop yourself a nice little new fresh football shirt with some of your Christmas money from your nana.
Shout out nans around the world.
Use
let
the link
us
in
know.
Description.
Oh yeah, use the link in description.
Board Draw 10 at checkout.
Let us know who you think is going to win the darts.
Oh mate, it's been so good.
It's been good. All the seeded dons are struggling.
It's just so good. Football Dartsmas has been absolutely beautiful. I don't want it to end.
Come on.
I really don't. But as all the good things must come to an end, I think we've got an international break coming up in a couple of weeks. We've got the first taste of Thomas Tuchel's England.
That's true. I was about to say stinky international break, but that would be interesting, to be fair.
So we'll do a little bit of coverage on that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And then, yeah, we're going to be bringing up some new, fresh, interesting content ideas for you guys
2025, baby. It's
coming thick and fast. But yeah, I hope everyone has a very, or well, everyone had a very happy new year. We're about to go off and celebrate. Cheers, guys. It's been Bored Draw. And it's live.